It was a day in February of 2020 when we took all of our Middle Eastern possessions and Canadian possessions and loaded them into a moving truck and arrived in the town that we call home. It was rush hour. It was busy as the truck arrived in front of our home. And it was a lot. There were people, there were cars, there were various farm animals making their way up and down the street. And with the mustard seed amount of language that I had, I was struggling to communicate and understand what the delivery driver was trying to say to me. And just there was a lot. It was sensory overload. And I remember pausing and asking God, I need you. Would you please show up? I don't know how much longer I can do this. Amen. And no more than 5 minutes later, I heard over the back of my right shoulder, I heard someone say in perfect English, "Yo, bro, how can I help you?" And I looked up to the heavens and said, "Thank you." And I turned around, and it was my friend, Gary. And Gary had just such an immediate warmth and kindness and gentleness to him. And we very quickly found out that Gary was the nephew of the owner of this home that we were moving into. And Gary was actually our immediate neighbor. So I very, very quickly developed a really special and powerful relationship with Gary. Gary is a respected leader in our community. Gary is a teacher in the elementary school. And Gary would be what we would consider a theologian in the religion of the people that we work amongst. So I spent hours upon hours with Gary, having cups of tea, conversations in his home, joining with other men in our community center nightly for tea, sitting in simple red plastic chairs like you see in the photo behind me. And through the simple act of presence, I was able to connect with Gary in deep, deep ways. Doing simple things, yeah, just like drinking tea, going for a walk at 11:30 at night because the temperature was only 28, 29 degrees Celsius. But I've spent hours with Gary, and I love, love, love Gary deeply. And through my connection with Gary, we've been able to partner on some various projects in our community, one of which being a motivational program that I'll tell you about a little bit later on. But I remember one day hearing from like-minded workers in our town that Gary had said something really, really troubling. Gary had said, you know what? Christians are no different than ISIS. And what he meant by that was that he had seen followers of Jesus come to the town where we are, and as they shared their faith, they completely took away culture and just everything that made our people who they are. Because for our people, their culture and their religion is one and the same. So Gary had said this very deeply, deeply troubling thing of comparing us to a terrorist group. And I was deeply struck by this because Gary knows me as a follower of Jesus. So I didn't understand what was going on. So I simply said, God, would you start to turn my friend's heart? And I just simply prayed this day by day, week by week, month by month. Fast forward about 8-9 months later, and David, a teammate of ours that was on his pre-departure vision trip, or basically kind of just a come, check it out, see if you want to join us here trip, had arrived in our town, and we were at the community center one night for tea, and we're hanging out with Gary and my friend Anthony and other well-respected men in our community. And Gary got a bit of a smirk on his face. And I know when Gary smirks like this, he's going to say something or ask something. So I just simply remember praying, saying, okay, God, I don't know what Gary's going to say today, but I trust you. And he slides his red plastic chair a little bit closer to David, and he says, David, I have a question. And as he said, I have a question, I could see a couple of the other men in the community slowly start to slide their chairs a little bit closer as well. So I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be good. I said, okay, I know Brian. I know Brian's story. I know him and Jesus are like this. I know. But I want to hear from you. Are you a follower of Jesus, David? And I went, okay, we'll see where this goes. And David very proudly puffs his chest out a little bit and smiles and says, yes, Gary, I am a follower of Jesus. And Gary had the most boisterous and joyful smile I had ever seen from him until that point in our relationship. And with open arms and open hands, he said, that's great. That's wonderful. I am so happy to hear you say that. When you come to our town, not if you come to our town, but when you come to our town, I need you to know you will be welcomed here with open arms. Praise God. Because that is a transformation that can only happen when the Holy Spirit is moving and active and speaking to people like Gary.
So this is a wonderful story of what happens when Spirit-filled, loving, respectful Christians move into a place and seek to bring glory to Jesus in a way that respects people but really loves God because we love them. So we're finding that where we work, people are looking for hope. They are looking for healing. They've been through a lot of trauma. And so out of that, doors are opening to share about Jesus. So the country we live in has experienced a lot of war and violence. We work with people who have been displaced from one area of the country to specifically where we live in our town. They're very traumatized. They've seen some really, really terrible things. A lot of people have lost multiple family members to war and violence. And the economy is really bad. They would like to work, but there just are no jobs. And they experience discrimination where people from the majority people group don't want to hire them. They think they're dirty. They think they worship the devil. And so it's very hard for them to get work. And as a result, as you can imagine, people struggle with depression, anxiety, and hopelessness. Most of them don't see a future for themselves where they live. They can't go back to their homeland because it's not safe, and there's no jobs where they are. And so they look to places like Europe, North America, Australia, as sort of their beacon of hope. That's where I can go to have a job. That's where I can be safe, actually, is what really struck me one day when one woman said to me, you know, we're not safe here. And so you've probably seen on the news the reports of migrants coming into the West. And many of them come from the place where we work. Now, because we are a part of the body of Christ, because we have found life and hope in Jesus, we want to walk towards these needs. We're not going to turn our back on them. And so we're grateful to be sent, along with a team of others, by Leduc Alliance Church and other churches across Alberta. We're walking towards these needs. We believe that Jesus offers hope, that even when there's no job, you can have peace in your heart. Even when you've lost many members of your family, you can still have peace. You can have hope for the future. And you can have a relationship with God. For them, God is very distant. And if something good happens, well, that's up to God. If something bad happens, well, that was God's choice too. But ultimately, we believe that when that relationship with God is restored, it impacts our eternal security and also our day-to-day life. And this is what we're seeing in the lives of people around us. It impacts our souls, our relationships. People move from dysfunctional relationships to places of forgiveness, and what it looks to love your neighbor as yourself. They are able to go to work because a lot of people struggle with the mental health, just trauma. So some women experience just fainting spells that come out of nowhere. And so you can imagine if you're trying to get a job, you can't work under that situation. But when Jesus comes in, healing happens and people can work, and then the community as a whole finds healing. So, you know, this is what we are about. We're about our eternal salvation and how salvation impacts us here and now. So, Brian, can you tell us about this motivational program that you started? Tell us where it came from and, what are some of the impacts that you've seen?
Absolutely. So, after months upon months of spending time with men like Gary and Anthony in our community, there was an ask at one point to open up a program for the senior citizens or the elderly population in our town, because they're at home, they're lonely, they don't have much going on. So I thought, okay, if this is the door that God is opening, great, this is the door that I'm going to walk through. So I got my notes ready, I got everything ready for our first meeting, our kickoff meeting for the Senior Citizens Project. And I sat in the office of our community center, I sat in the room, it was myself, it was Gary, it was Anthony. And Gary looked at me and said, Brian, I know we asked you to consider starting a Senior Citizens Project, but we need to pivot away from that. I said, okay, what are you thinking? He said, the suicide rate amongst our young men and women is drastically, drastically high. We've lost, I think at that time he said, we've lost 11 young men and young women this month alone because of suicide. Would you help us? I said, yeah, I would love to. What are you thinking? You know, what would this look like? And he said, our young people need hope because they go to university, they graduate at the top of their class, and they have big dreams and big ideas and big passions. But employment isn't there. Money isn't there. Their family situation is tough. And it starts a terrible, terrible cycle that leads in these young men and young women taking their lives. So I said, okay. And I remember actually praying and saying, okay, to God. And I just started to research, and I started to consider what a motivational program would look like for young men and young women in our community. So I would go to one coffee shop in the city that's about 30 minutes away from us, and I would arrive there in the morning, I would pray, I would order an iced Americano, and I'd write. And I would take my sheets, and I would take them to Gary and Anthony, and I'd say, how's this? And they would take a pen, and they would go, great, great, nope. Here's why we can't do it like this. Great, great. And eventually, over time, we developed enough curriculum for 4 lessons. So we talk about things like the power of your thoughts. We talk about things like community service. So we got this program ready to go, and we launched the program. And I thought we would do this program for a short period of time, basically just as a pilot project. Here's the amazing thing in this project. That while in this program, we do not specifically mention the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God, the Bible, it's amazing the spiritual breakthroughs that are happening in people. It's amazing the relationships that God is opening up and forming and developing in and through this program. I mean, at one point, about 6 weeks before we left, I was in class one day. It was myself, Gary, Anthony, and 13 young men and women. And this one particular young woman, very bright, fluent in English, puts her hand up and she says, Mr. Teacher Brian, I have a question. I said, go ahead. She said, I see you have the word hope tattooed on your right arm. This project is called Project Bright Hope. What do you hope in? I said, Jesus. I said, that the person, presence, and power of Jesus. And it was amazing to me because every eye in that room was locked in. And it was 3 of the most powerful and special moments that God gave me in the Middle East. God is on the move.
So one thing that really comes out of your work, Brian, is relationships, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's kind of how Brian and I are wired. We love people. We love to sit with people and chat. We love to go do things and talk. And we're not really project people as much as Brian has started a project. Projects start and finish, and they really can help people. But what we are finding is that people really, they are looking for attention. They are looking for love. Aren't we all? I joke that I personally have this, I am a bottomless well in need of being loved. And so that's what my journey has been about, to learn that God loves me so much and to experience that every day. But I need it every day. Anyway, so this is what we really focus on is relationships. And so as I spend time with people, it's a lot of visiting, drinking tea. You're probably not surprised to hear. You guys like to eat. We like to eat, too. Lots of eating happening over in the Middle East, let me tell you. And so as we spend time with people, it's in the day-to-day life that as we pray and listen to the Holy Spirit, things start to happen that by God's grace we can speak into gently. So when we first met Sheena, this is our good friend, she was kind, friendly. She was actually our language helper for our mm-hmm. first year. And so when we first started to get to know her, as white people, they assume that we're Christians. That's just the blanket assumption. And that's generally a positive thing. But she was also kind of wary because, like Brian's friend Gary, she had seen some Christians come and just be pretty pushy with their beliefs and you need to convert or you're going to burn in hell. And that comes across pretty hard to people. Like, you know, that's not really how we like to approach this. This is about God's love for us as well. Anyway, so I've always been really careful to be a good listener. You know, she had a wall up, and that wall isn't going to come down if I argue with her. Not with her, maybe other people, but with her. And so I would just try to listen. Like, what is your experience? Like, what, do you believe in God? Her people have been through a genocide, and so a lot of young people question, can God be real if he let this happen to us? But she said, yeah, I believe in God. Didn't really know much beyond that, kind of pushing back against some of the traditions and rules of her belief and her background. But she believed in God, so I thought, well, that's a great place to start. So we've been praying for her for a long time. And over time, just a friendship, we spent more time together, and it probably took about 2 years, but she began to really open up and share that she had some really painful things in her life, things that other people had done to her, and just, you know, she'd been through trauma as well, and I'm not going to share those stories specifically out of respect for her, but believe me when I say that, you know, she has a lot of reasons to be angry at God and to actually just be stuck. A lot of people, I think, feel stuck because they're angry, but you got to believe in God, but what do you do? So one day I was able to walk with her through sort of the head knowledge ideas about salvation. You know, Jesus was sent by God, and he died on the cross for our sins. And then when he was resurrected, you know, that made room for the Holy Spirit to come. And so now we have life. And, well, and what's sin, and how do we deal with our sin? And she has some of the background of that. But it's very much just still the head knowledge. And so I just, you know, just left it at that. I knew that God needed to speak to her heart. So at the beginning of this year, actually, back in January, Sheena moved from the Middle East to a country in Europe. She and her husband went legally. He's studying his PhD as an international student. So this is a family that's a bit more well off than a lot of other families. And so I don't see her anymore, but we text very regularly on WhatsApp. Just driving up here to Leduc, I was texting her. We were in Calgary, and we saw a mural that represented a lot of her culture, and so we were chatting about that. But a couple months ago, I think it was about April or May, she texted me and was just kind of really sad because she'd been seeing how people really mistreat each other, you know, to the point of physical abuse, just really terrible ways. She was reading some of the stories of what's been happening back in the region where we live. And she said to me, and I thought this was significant, she said, Jess, how bad we are to each other. Not just how bad other people are to each other. Often we think, oh, well, other people are bad, right? But she said, how bad we are to each other. I cry when I hear stories like this about torture and abuse. I feel so sad. And so I could sense the Holy Spirit saying, Jessica, this is where you need to really speak. And so I said, yeah, this is really hard. Honestly, I would have no hope if I didn't know Jesus. It's only Jesus that gives me hope for this world and for myself and for other people. I really don't know how I could be happy without knowing him. Like, how could I have any experience of happiness when I see how the world is? And then I told her, you know, there's a story in the Bible where one of the followers of Jesus says to him, after Jesus has asked his followers, you know, some people stopped following Jesus, and Jesus says to some of his key followers, are you going to leave me too? Because things are getting a little more difficult. And one of his followers, Peter, says to him, Lord, who else are we going to go to? Only you have the words of life. So I told her this story, and I told her, you know, in my experience, this is true. I've looked at other religions in the world. There's nothing that offers us life like Jesus does. And I said, when I listen to his voice, when I'm praying, when I'm reading scripture, when the Holy Spirit speaks to me, there the words of life come. And so I get discouraged, but ultimately I'm grounded on faith and hope and love. And what she said to me just gave me such hope. She said, Jess, I want to reach that point one day. And if you knew the experience of people and their sense of being, I could never change, I could never change my belief because of a societal pressure, maybe because of anger, this is a significant statement. She said, to start to want to have a belief in Jesus like that is just huge. And so Sheena has come a long way. She's attracted to Jesus, but really held back. You know, she's had a lot of family and societal pressures against her. So now that she's moved to the Middle East, I am always praying that she has contact with other believers. When she first moved, I tried to contact a church, or I did contact a church in her city where she was living, and reached out to the pastor there, and he was willing to connect a bit, but she needed a bit more help than I guess maybe that church or that pastor at that time had capacity to give, which fair enough. But I thought, are there no other churches? Are there no other people who would reach out to her? You know, she's coming with this experience of meeting believers, not just me, but others as well. But now she's leaving, and who's going to meet her on the other side? So it took a few months, but fortunately through kind of another mutual friend, she was finally able to be put in contact with an American woman who was living in her city. And now they've actually struck up a beautiful friendship. And she said, Jess, this lady is so kind and helpful to me all the time. And so I praise God that, you know, we were part of the beginning of that journey. There were actually other believers in her life before her. And now there's other people in person with her. So yeah, I'm really grateful for that.
Friends, God is on the move here in Leduc, in the Middle East, and all around the world. And the incredible thing is he is doing it through ordinary people just like you and just like us. There is a deep, deep need and a transformational invitation from God to join him in the work that he is doing. What's your part to play? How can you be like the American woman in Sheena's story and love someone who's here from another country, from another culture? Could you be like us and consider using your skills, your passions, your talents, your God-given abilities to serve cross-culturally? But we want you to remember, God is on the move, and he's doing it through people just like all of us.
Yeah, we're not looking for pastors, per se. Brian and I probably have sort of more almost typical sort of shepherd giftings in that we love to be with people and share on almost more of an emotional level. But we're looking for people with very practical skills. We have a nurse on our team. She is constantly saying, hey, are there people in Canada who can consult with me on medical cases, you know, just give opinions? We need people with people skills, like social work, or kind of just coming along and meeting with people in their homes. Job skills development, hairdressers, sewing, all these kinds of things are needs that we have. It's really just for ordinary people. And so you, maybe one of your children, could be one of those people. And so our challenge to you today is, maybe this is not for you to actually uproot your whole life and go move to another country for 4 years, but maybe you have children who would consider this. One of the struggles on our team has been a family who wanted to come, and their parents said, no, you can't go. That's too dangerous. How could you take our grandchildren there? And so maybe some of you are in that position. We're going to ask that you, if that ever comes, would you bless your children to go? And would you support them in that? Sometimes to more dangerous places. We feel very safe where we are. But people need Jesus now in the hardest places of the world. This takes courage and faith to do so. But maybe it could be you as well. We are not passively sitting around waiting for people to come up and say, I think I have a call. We want to make the call to you today that you can do this. We're very ordinary people. We really are. And by God's grace, we have moved and we have done it and we are doing it, and God is meeting us every step of the way. But yeah, would you consider that? Would you ask what God is asking of you to support what the world needs, which is Jesus?
The Duke Alliance, from the bottom of our hearts, we say thank you, thank you, thank you for your partnership with us over these last 4 years. You have blessed us and encouraged us in financial partnership, emotional care, pastoral care. Thank you for that. You are the reason why we are able to go and do what we do. And we do this together. This is a partnership. We cannot be doing what we are doing, where we are doing, unless there's people like you where you are doing what you do to bless us, to encourage us, to support us, to enable us. So from the absolute bottom of our hearts, we say thank you, thank you, thank you. And as we go from the service today, we want to invite you. We have a table set up in the foyer, and we have three everyday ordinary things on display on that table. And each of those things is tied into a story that we would love to share with you. So we're going to call this like a pick your own adventure. And if you want to hear another story, please come and visit us at the table.
They're good stories, I promise.
Please come and visit us at the table, and you will see a single domino, a watch, and a notebook and a Bible. Let us know which story you want to hear based on one of these items, and we will happily, happily, happily tell it to you. We will also have an option for you to sign up for our newsletter if you'd like to receive that each week. We do have a brand new prayer card available as well, too. And yeah, we would just love to chat and see you and thank you individually for your phenomenal, inspiring, and encouraging care of us over these last 4 years. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we praise you and we thank you for this day. God, we thank you that, this call to the nations is one that we are all doing and we all have a part to play. So Lord, we pray and we ask that you would make it so, so clear to us where that part is, who we are to reach out to, and how we are to use the gifts and skills and talents and beautiful things that you have given to us so that every nation, every tribe, and every tongue would hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.